are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Apologize for the real late start. Man, my computer was tripping. I couldn't get on Google. But I persevered because, you know, what you got to do is constantly reboot. Start all over, reboot. I started late to on the hookup thinking that everything would work fine. I mean, I didn't really start late. I started definitely in enough time. But when there are problems and then those problems happen, then obviously you needed more time. But we're hooked up and I hope that you're hearing me clearly, and I hope that you're willing to sit and listen and hopefully participate by calling 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world if you cannot listen to this program live. You can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for podcasts, click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then you will see when you click on African Perspectives, the programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. There are other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media, as I said, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, my program, African Perspectives. And then Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then at 9 p.m., Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers at 8 p.m. from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then on Thursday it is Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Relationships with Joy and Troy. And then on Fridays, right after my program, at 1 p.m. on Fridays, Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee. Esoteric Review. And then Friday evening, if it's Friday evening and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., no, it ain't me, it is Sister POC, her program, A Proof of Consciousness, Revive. On Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. I had a good program on last night, Brother Elliot. A very good program. Loved his sister dealing with exposing Adolf, the descendants, the American descendants, for who and what they are. Time for an Awakening on Sundays at 7 p.m. And, of course, every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., The Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. You can get everything that you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. If you are in the Atlanta area, We Buy Black has a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where you can pick up those products right there. And WeBuyBlack.com. And as I was saying, that WeBuyBlack.com is in the process, because when you go to their website, they're asking to make a donation to help build a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. Now, I maintain that this effort should not just be with We Buy Black. This should be a national effort to coincide with you're damn right I'm saying it, with us lifting us. We have the mechanism. We have the ability right here, right now. The cafe failed for a number of reasons, and I'm going to tell you the number one reasons. We, damn it, didn't support it. Even those brothers and sisters who are members of Us Lifting Us here in Atlanta, they didn't go down there. I understand it was all off of Sylvan Road, right off of 166, and some people didn't like it. But damn it, we got to start somewhere, and sacrifices need to be made. But if We Buy Black and Us Lifting Us and other ideas of co-ops and pulling money together can do, we can have supermarkets ASAP around Atlanta, Chicago, New York, Dallas, wherever there's a large enough population of American African people who are willing to support a supermarket where the products at the supermarket are produced by us. The produce is produced by us. The canned goods produced by us. Farms where there's, if they still eat meat, produced by us. It can be done. It must be done. I can't wait to get to the second half of this program by any means necessary. I can't wait. That's right. We Buy Black. Also, too, African for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tahimba. My good brother, Bamani Tahimba, he just came back from Ghana, and he has a lot of trips upcoming. Go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. And if you want to see photos, I'm not sure if he has the latest, but maybe he does. Go to Facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bamani2007. He'll have them there for you. So I'm going to get the upcoming dates of the other trips that he has as scheduled for this year, for 2020. So, you know, and many martyrs, same price, about $3,700. Very affordable. It's particularly if you budget yourself, begin to put money down and pay monthly. I mean, I went to the Soul Train Cruise, and I did that. It was worked out well, but that Soul Train Cruise was my cruise. When you had the groups that were on there, Atlantic Star, the Whispers, the OJs, the Dramatics. Oh, man, I tell you, I loved it. All right. Another cruise for you is Baba Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Go to drrinoko.com. Go to drrinoko.com. He has a trip upcoming, leaving shortly, January 21st through February 4th, going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. Once again, that is only less than $3,900. And then, of course, he has the trip going to Rwanda and Uganda coming up in October. So, man, the pictures of what he's... on the website, please go to the website. Look at these beautiful pictures of Rwanda and Uganda. Man, and I know that the cost is up there. It's like 40. It's not really up there, but it's around 40. Let me get the correct amount. Let me get here. And the correct amount is $4,100 per person. So let's say $4,200, rounded off to $4,200 per person. You know, so I'm saying it's, and I can give you all the other details about this trip, but it is, oh man, sounds like a beautiful trip. Believe me, the pictures are just breathtaking, how beautiful Africa is, you know, architecture, the scenes, the places, You know, we got to stop it, y'all. Africa is beautiful. Africa is not what the European wants to project. Africa is beautiful. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End, here in Atlanta. Get it? They got it all. They got the furniture. They got clothing. They got the red, black, and green Nagash shoes. They got all kinds of good stuff for you. They have books. They have books. If they don't have the book that you request or you need, believe me, they'll get it for you in a timely manner. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They have a history class of Know Thyself, African history class of Know Thyself, Baba Olatunji, outstanding job every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30 every Saturday. And yes, it is free and open to the public. But if you want that information, you can't attend the classes. They have a multimedia library, an African History Club multimedia library with over seven terabytes of African enlightenment. Check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They're open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. So they're closed today and tomorrow. But check them out. Get that information. The bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right by the kiosk of We Buy Black, is the Medu Bookstore. And they got books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. And they're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9 and Sunday from 12 to 6. So give the Medu Bookstore a call. If there's a book that you're looking for, they may have it. If they don't, once again, they'll get it. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And, of course, my good friend Kazimde Ajamu at Black Dot and Cultural Center in Lithonia. Give my good brother a call. He got books for you. He's got the Nagash shoes. He's got clothing. He's got everything ready for you. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They have their call every Thursday night. The Thursday night call on Blog Talk Radio, 9 p.m. At 9 p.m. on Thursday night, please give them a also, you can go online, okay, to Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to put that up there. I'm going to announce that. Yeah, you'll need that. And the number to call, 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The Relationships 101 Conference is coming up Saturday, February 1st. First the men from 10 to 2, and then the sisters afterwards. It's going to be at the Akabin House, okay? Brother Baruti will be leading the men, and Sister Yabaruti will be leading the sisters. So I'll give more detail. Also, too, you need to support the Akabin Institute that are educating our young men and women to be warriors, to understand their responsibility as African young men and women to do what is best for us as a people. Akabin Institute, it needs your support. It is solely independent. It seeks no funds outside of our community, outside of our people. We must support it. And many of the sisters and brothers who send their children there, they're just making it. They're doing the best they can. Yes, they do pay, but they can't pay what they should be able to pay because they don't have it. And if you have it, please share it. Support Akabin Institute. Send your check or money order to P.O. Box 10786. That's right, Akabin Institute. Make it out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, put the dollar sign in, YAAMBARUTI, Baruti, Cash App or PayPal. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle, and I was talking about the sister the other day, and beautiful sister, the work that she's doing in Haiti, and I know you've been hearing the things about what's going on in Haiti, how really bad it is, the money that was donated because the earthquake is 10 years old. That's 10 years now. And it's worse today than it was 10 years ago. Sad. And, of course, you know what? You know, my deep disdain and deep-seated hatred of the Clintons and their ripoff in the Haiti situation. But they're not alone. And there was government officials who was ripping stuff up. I'm telling you, it's just because they had enough money to give every Haitian literally thousands of dollars, let alone pay for the infrastructure repair. They did. It was mismanaged. It was graft and corruption. Damn it. Damn that. I'm going to talk about the great work that Sister Gabby is doing in the northeastern portion of Haiti, in the rural area where a lot of times funds don't get there and nor do programs. But she has one that is doing great work. So go to Sonjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org, and look at the work that that sister's doing. And if you agree, please support it. See, a lot of times we as African people, we're looking for others to do things when we should be doing for ourselves. We should be making things happen for ourselves. You and I both know it. You do. Black Talk Radio Network project, and I'm quite sure the fund is still going on in the Black Talk Radio Network fund project. And so please contact Brother Scotty Reed, Black Talk Radio Network, BTRN.com. And when you scroll down, you can see the donation button for the Black Talk Radio Network project. I'm happy to be on Black Talk Radio Network and to be broadcasting whenever I get a chance to do this. And every chance I get a chance to do this, I'm very honored. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. January 11th. To be always answering questions and mounting defenses about things you thought were obvious keeps you from doing your work. Toni Morrison. Terms like clan and tribe are only problematic in the context of the historical and contemporary interpretations of indigenous people by European political science. They automatically become problematic in our minds because they have been defined as inferior by European scholarship. We have the same problem when looking at hereditary as defined genetically because of the racist labels and qualities that scientific eugenic racist theories attributed to us vis-a-vis Europeans during our enslavement and ever since. But in and of themselves, neither hereditary or descriptive terms such as clan or tribe are problematic. It is the negative definitions given to them by this Caucasian extremist cultural context and the mental-cital context of which most of us think, which elevates extreme individualism over that of our duty and responsibilities to community, that makes those of us who want to identify with our traditions reject such naturally unifying terms out of hand. Affirm, I speak within the context of community. And I'm going to do some commentary here because I know we didn't get a chance to start the way we usually do, but I wanted to say this, particularly in terms of this. You know, I've been advocating, and I will continue to do so, proper terminology for us. I don't want us to call ourselves black. We're not black. We're African. I know that some of us say black and African are synonymous, but to me, they are not, particularly for those who like to call themselves black. They don't want to be African. Yes, I know there's some beautiful Africans who use the word black and interchangeably and so forth. I understand that. But I would prefer for us to, at this stage of our situation, our existence, we must define and draw a line. Either you're with us as Africans or you're not. Either you make to say, yes, I'm an African. I am not asking you at this time to say whether you're black or not. Damn that. Are you an African? And if somebody said, well, how you do define that? I mean, if I was a Caucasian, I was born in South Africa, ain't I an African? Hell no. You ain't no African. Just like Dr. Clark said, when you speak of a people, you must conjure up land, history, and culture. If I say that to a Caucasian, then the memory of what that is what? Exploitation, thievery, coming in and taking. No, you're not an African. You're a European. Land, history, and culture. Another one is slavery. The European uses the word slavery consistently, and unfortunately, so do we. Brothers and sisters, as I state in the opening during the libation, as I state all unequivocally, consistently, we were not slaves. Stop calling our ancestors slaves. We were captives. When you use that word, it gives you a different perspective. It puts a different image in your mind. Because a slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We fought on a continent. We fought in the Middle Passage. We fought in this hemisphere. We continue to fight today. There are so many recorded revolts of our people fighting, let alone the ones that we don't know of. We fought. We're not slaves. We're captives. But because we use that word so damn often, and some of our so-called learned individuals, used to bother the hell out of me when I used to watch Roland Martin on TV One. You know, he would constantly say that. It would just. But it bothers me when we do. I give a damn about what Caucasians do and how they say it. I could care less because they're going to do that. They're the perpetrators of these evil, ugly, nasty things that have happened to us. They are the root of the problem. So I'm saying to us, try our best. And you can correct others. No, brothers, we weren't slaves. We were captives. Stop calling us slaves. When you see the word slave, automatically try your best to put in your mind captives. Have you heard me read things? Even Baba Baruti stuff. I put the words that I think that are most appropriate for us in our quest to change our minds. Everything that is happening to us, brother, is a result of the mind. That's why in the program with Stephen Biko, what did he say? The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. It is about the mind.
This call is being recorded.
It is about the mind. We got a caller, 646. Good morning.
Hey, Ochi, what's happening, black man? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good, Jay. It was okay. Did a few things that, you know, rained off and on here. That's, you know, it's bad weather everywhere. But yeah.
Well, you know, it was kind of high as far as the temperature go in New York City in January.
I know.
Mean, it was like in the 50s and stuff like that, which, you know, goes to prove there's a thing called global warming.
Yeah.
Why these rich people that control the world don't understand that it's going to lead to their demise too.
They don't give a damn. They're living for it. They don't give a damn. They're living for it today.
They don't care about the damn future.
Or nobody's future. They want it now.
I'm just being facetious.
Yeah.
I'm just being facetious.
I know you
Listen,
are.
Ochi, right quick. I just wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
Have you started your topic yet? Because I wanted to ask you something.
No, I haven't.
Well, listen, this is what I wanted to ask you right quick. And I really, you know, I value your opinion because you're honest and you are not under no delusions of what the truth may be, good or bad. Now, I would like to know, do you see the Nation of Islam as a cult?
Well, that's a deep question because I've worked with the Nation of Islam. I know many people in the Nation of Islam, you know. I'm objective about the Nation of Islam. I understand how its leadership, and it's really only had two leaders, Elijah Muhammad. I can't count War of D. Muhammad because once he took over, you know, he led the people to Orthodox Sunni Islam, you know, and then Minister Louis Farrakhan revived the Nation of Islam in the same context that it was under with Elijah Muhammad. And in that religion, some could argue it's cult following. You know, some could make that argument. You know, I'm never a member, but like I said, I've worked with them. I worked with the Nation of Islam with the first Million Man March. I was on the organizing committee, had a chance to meet the minister and many others. Right. You know, but so, I mean, some can make that argument. It is a cult because you follow the dictates, you know, and some of the things that the nation puts out, for me, I can't get in. You know,
okay,
I can't.
Okay, now stop right there. Stop right there. Because this is what the whole thing is about as far as I'm concerned. You know, Ava Mohammed is now going on this national tour with this, I'm going to say it straight up, nonsense, separation oil. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now, my position is this. Why can't the nation who's been in existence for many, 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 many years not take their thousands of members and do what they try to get other people to come along and do with them? Because I don't know if most people understand that if they become involved in any type of situation with the Nation of Islam, they're going to be under the governance and the laws of the Nation of Islam if any structure is set up. And if you don't think so, you're a damn fool. There's no way in hell, no way in hell, that the Nation of Islam is going to go into some sort of movement, space, and things of that nature without them being the governing body of the situation. And if you think not, you're a damn fool, like I'm saying to you. So whereby men like me and you, who live a certain cultural lifestyle in a certain perspective that in some ways is different than the Nation of Islam, I can't see myself living under their government. I can't see myself, if I decide I want to have a glass of wine or a beer, or I want to, you know, do something that is against their so-called tenets, that I would be allowed to do that. See, people don't think about these things. That's why I'm saying, why don't y'all go and take your members, set up shop, show us how it's done, show us how it's going to be governed, show us how things are going to progress to the point to where, as you say in your name, you a nation. And then
let me say this, Jay.
And say to the people, would you like to live as a part of the destruction?
Let me just say this as a Pan-Africanist, as a cultural nationalist, as somebody who is believing in sovereignty for African people. I want to deal with the issues that are affecting our people from an African perspective. I love El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, Brother Omawali. And I love what he said when he said, when we come to the table, he said, when we come to the table to deal with the issues that are affecting African people, if I come to the table and start to espouse Islam or even the Nation of Islam or any other theology, and you're a Christian and you're a Seventh-day Adventist or you're a Black Hebrew Israelite or you a Jehovah's Witness, whatever, there's going to be issues. We'll be so deeply fragmented we can't deal with the issue that is truly affecting us as African people regardless, because it doesn't make any difference because we're dogged out by Europeans, not because we're whatever theology you want to call yourselves or whatever sorority or fraternity you want to deal with or whatever. No, we are African. That's why. Point blank. No other reason. And so my contention is that we embrace Pan-Africanism. It is either Pan-Africanism or perish. It's either unite or die. Unite or die. And we are uniting not around any theology. In fact, I maintain that the theologies are one of the main culprits from keeping us from coming together. Because these theologies...
I totally agree.
You agree?
I totally agree. Sky Daddy, Skydaddy-ism.
Skydaddy-ism.
Has controlled us in the manner in which the slave master has. Yeah. That's why he gave it to us.
Yeah.
Because he knew that it would be a tool to control us, making us think and feel as though if we act and behave in a certain way, the Sky Daddy got called and save our black behind.
Yeah, well,
we at the arms of this devil.
Yeah.
So why would I want to die and go up to the so-called pearly gates and look in the face of a damn Yorugal?
How disappointing would that be, Jay?
Call heavy.
How disappointing would that be? Let me finish this.
Imagine you going, you get up there and somebody standing at the gate, the nature of Jerry Falwell.
Jerry Falwell, Pat Swagger, and all those other crap. But listen, let me finish what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back on the other side. Jay, you know, you're always welcome, brother, to join the conversation.
All right. I'll try to call back on the other side.
All right.
I love you, brother.
You too. You too, brother Jay. Thank you, man. Peace to you. January 12th. Although it will take much more than our knowing we are beautiful to save us, there are redeeming qualities in that knowledge, especially when so many of us think otherwise. Kerry Cheatwood. The Kemetic Ocean is what we now call the Atlantic Ocean. We unapologetically make this declaration using our aphorism because we named this world long before others were acquainted with words. European old world maps label the Atlantic Ocean as Oceanus Africanus, Ethiopian Ocean. Ethiopia was a Greek label for Kemets or Africans, meaning burnt face or burnt skin. It is the oldest known Greek word for the Kemites, the Africans. However, since we are not these Proto-European Greeks or their descendants, we should not use Greek words to characterize and describe the African reality or worldview. Calling the Kemetic Ocean the Calling the Kemetic Ocean the Ethiopian Ocean speaks volumes about how the Greeks saw the world. Calling this enormous body of water African, which means they probably changed it into a Greek name that reflected earlier Africans, calling it by an African name indicates both the respect that Greeks had for the names Africans had given to places in the world, as well as the fact that Africans had already named this world. Therefore, moving back in time to our original thinking, if anything, we should call the ocean that changed from being the Ethiopian to the Atlantic, also a Europeanized term, nothing other than the Kemetic Ocean. This would be our historically consistent. Affirm, I think within the redeeming qualities of African definitions, and I'm returning to the world to its original names. Affirm, I think within the redeeming qualities of African definitions, and I'm returning to the world to its original names. And that's why I'm saying we need to look at the words that we use. We need to look at slave. We need to look at other words that we use in terms of how it affects us mentally, physically, keeps us in a particular state. The verb, many people thought, well, words have meaning. Well, words have meaning. Well, damn it, if they do, let us decide what these words are. Don't let the Europeans decide a damn thing for us. They can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. And I don't debate with Caucasians. If a Caucasian came here now, I would be respectful. He got a question, I'll try to answer it. But I'm not in no damn debate with Caucasians. Because why? To me, they can't defend the indefensible. You cannot defend the murder, the rape, the pillage of this planet. You cannot. Woo, Brother Oshie. I must have had too much coffee. January 13th, today, January 13th. When you fall, don't analyze where you have fallen. Analyze where you stumbled. The honorable ancestor Hannibal Afrique. A tripped person can take multiple steps in a free-falling trajectory before finally landing on the ground. Intelligent individuals who have fallen look for what initiated it, not at the end result. They look for the crack their soul got caught in, not the place where their hands skid them to a stop. To do otherwise would be like looking at symptoms or outcomes as a cause of an illness or difficulty. Instead, it has the indicators where you might find it. African people must stop looking to the indicators of our plight to locate what caused us to fall so far from grace of our ancestors. Knowing that we have the highest crime, incarceration, poverty, divorce, homelessness, the lowest average educational attainments, income and wealth, and the shortest and most pain-racked lifespan does not tell us the source of these problems. We should know that any problem source must be understood in order to solve the problem. And even if we work to solve the problem, the solution is only temporary, unless we correct it at its root. I repeat. Even if we work to solve the problem, the solution is only temporary unless we correct a problem at its root. Many of our people always talking about, we got to talk about solutions. Damn it, you can't talk about no solutions because the root of the problem you're afraid to deal with. Brother Hoshi, man. To find the root of our problem, we have to go back to the motherland where we first stumbled, not here. It is there that we stumbled over our own genius and misguided humanity, as well as the feet intentionally placed in our path by impolite aliens. They put their foot, they made us stumble. It is because we have not come to grips with this that we will rise only to stumble again. Dienye Sasim. Affirm, I look where we have stumbled to see why we have fallen and how to rise. Affirm, I look to see where we have stumbled and to see why we have fallen and how to rise. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we're going to engage in some more conversation. You, of course, are free to join us. You know, give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Sister Shavinduka, Kwame Cobb and Shavinduka from the Principles, Seven Principles CD of Kwanzaa. And I love that song. I love that group. They're beautiful people. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Following, other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays at from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Jihad, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9, and then Conversation Reparations with from 9 to 10 with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Also on Fridays, after my program, it's Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee from 1 to 2. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., it's once again Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Seems like today is a day I'm going to go off. So I might as well go off with this article. By any means necessary. First, I saw this on the internet and I want to use this because this was Voltaire, the French philosopher Voltaire. He says, if you want to know who controls you, look at who you're not allowed to criticize. If you want to know who controls you, look at who you are not allowed to criticize. When I say that, think about that, brothers and sisters. Who are we not allowed to criticize? The European Jews. Look at the history. Look at those who have and look what they were made to do. Look at the funding of a lot of programs and why some even political candidates are afraid. Look at who you are not allowed to criticize. We criticize the government, we criticize Caucasian all the time. Things don't change. But the one thing that is understood, at least to me, and I hope now to you, is what the influence that the European Jews have on this planet, have on what's going on this planet. We can talk more about that at another time and another day. American Africans. See, I didn't say Black Americans. See, that's what it says here, but no. It's American Africans. We are Africans. That's who we are. We're one African. Wherever we are, we're Africans. There's a word. Africa is the noun. It is a suffix. There's a word that goes in front of the noun, the suffix, Africa, describes the kind of African that you are. Here in America, we are American Africans. If we were Jamaican, we'd be Jamaican Africans, Cuban Africans, Barbadoan Africans, Brazilian Africans, which of course there are more Brazilian Africans than any other Africans except Nigerian Africans, Ghanaian Africans, Kenyan Africans, Cameroonian Africans, British Africans, French Africans. We are Africans. We ain't, well. Let me continue on. American Africans need a by any means necessary attitude to attain freedom. We need a by any means necessary attitude to attain freedom. This article was written months ago, a few months ago, although it is penned today with today's date. And it is say it's written by Jason Williams. Right on, Brother Jason Williams. I'm thoroughly frustrated with hearing this idea that we, American Africans, can achieve our goal of freedom from a system of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege and oppression by asking, begging, compromising, voting, praying, sitting, or waiting. Although it appears we have made much progress, we really have, it's very incremental, we are still completely under the foot of the same racist, extremist system that has mastered the art of stealing, killing, and destroying anyone and everything on the planet. Yesterday, I went to an ASCAC meeting, and I said, I just want to throw this out there, and I'm throwing it out there to you as an observation. Two things. The plane that was shot down by the Iranians, a passenger plane killing innocent people. And because of the strike, now you can say whatever you want to say. I'm just saying this, and you have your opinion, and I got mine on this. Because of what has happened, they're being bombed and so forth. When they seen their plane, and this is bad training, it's a number of things, but I'm saying because of what Donald Trump has done and what the United States did, caused whoever was responsible for in Iran to shoot that plane down. So the root cause of them shooting that plane down, a passenger plane killing all those people, is because of the attack on them by the United Snakes. Yeah, I said it. And I don't care if you don't agree with me. You know, you can say they ain't one no fault of the United States. They didn't put nothing on them. They didn't put in there. Okay. And then the other is on Facebook. They showed in Australia something that was unique in terms of the fires that are going on. And the smoke, of course, blocking out the sun, but enough to see it and causing this color pattern. Now, I'm not sure if it is the same color pattern or the same looking just like the flag of the indigenous people, the so-called Aboriginal people of Australia. Now, aside from the destruction that is going on, once again, oh, there you go again, Brother Oshie. You're always blaming the white man. Yes, I blame Europeans for a lot of things. And looking at what has happened, it is deserving as far as I'm concerned. Yes. Climate change is a result of European greed. I've said on this program many times, I've had a couple of climate change programs. We talked specifically about climate change. Said many times, while I was sitting at the firehouse, on duty at the firehouse table, reading the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper, reading an article about, at that time, it was called global warming. Now, it probably is about 35, maybe 40 years ago. Either late 80s or 90s. And it said, if you don't change your behavior, if you don't, and if you stop emitting greenhouse gases and creating these effects, then these are the things that are going to happen. And they've happened. When they had that piece on Venice, the person talking about the situation said, very soon, when you talk about something that happens once every 100 years, that once a 100 years calamity is going to happen once or twice a year instead of once or twice a hundred years. It's going to happen much, much more often. And they are at fault. When Jimmy Carter was defeated in the White House by Ronald Reagan, he had put up solar panels, letting the people know that we have to move away from fossil fuels. We have to move away from that. This is the causing the problem. And look for alternatives, clean energy sources such as wind and solar. What did Trump do when he first got in? Right away, that pipeline that was going to go through indigenous people's land and their water, which they fought for, and they were pelted with pellets and water cannon in November, in December, in January, when it's freezing cold, they're throwing water on them. But when Trump won, the person who was putting together the pipeline says, Trump, he's got it because he is a donor. Oh, no, excuse me, not a donor. He is an investor in this. So it's going to happen. And it did. Did it leak into their water? Yeah, it did. Just as they feared. Yeah. Because they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about the future. They're so damn short-sighted. And so selfish and so damn greedy, they could care less. Although it appears we have made much progress, we are still completely under the foot of the same extremist system that has mastered the art of stealing, killing, and destroying everyone and everything on the planet. Their violent tendencies and capitalistic mentality has spread throughout the globe like a cancerous plague, creating conscious and unconscious agents of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege along the way. How long will we render ourselves defenseless against a system that wishes nothing but death against us? How long will we ignore the fact the government is and has been poisoning us every day in every way? How long will we pray for our enemies? How long will we keep our hands up so racist, paranoid police don't have their insecurities, because of their insecurities, have trigger fingers? How long will we be afraid to deal with the American African people in the American African community killing American African people? I'll read it again. How long will we be afraid to deal with us in our community killing us? How long will we live in fear? How long will we just sit around and do nothing but complain and beg our true and open and sworn enemy for crumbs to survive off of? How long will we try a nonviolent approach to a very violent problem? How long? We are not dealing with a moral system. It is amoral. This is what was said about Dr. King. I know his birthday is coming up, and we'll talk about Dr. King. He was trying to use moral persuasion on the people who have no morals until he finally said to Harry Belafonte, I believe I'm making a grave mistake of trying to integrate my people into a burning building. We are dealing with a people with no moral or righteous people. We are not dealing with a moral or righteous people. I'm not even sure we're dealing with real humans at this point. How could humans with a soul be so able and willing to destroy, divide, and devour everything in sight without even a hint of regret? At some point, and that's like I, talking with a brother, he was talking about, you know, these Caucasians are aliens. I mean, you know, I listen to any and everything. A lot of things I will believe, and only for me, because I'm so damn old now that I've seen a lot and heard a lot, and I ain't falling for anything. Only thing I know for sure is that African people must solve African problems independent of any and everybody. I ain't asking nobody outside of Africans. If you're a true African, then you come in the house and let's solve these problems. We're not dealing with a moral, righteous people. I'm not even sure if we're dealing with real humans. How could humans with a soul be able and willing to destroy, divide, and devour everything in sight without even a hint of regret? At some point, wouldn't the human conscience kick in and feel something that says, we have to stop this? No. No. I maintain that, just like in the book, Michael Bradley's book, The Iceman's Inheritance, subtitled European Sexist, Selfish, and Greedy Nature, Racist Nature. Sexist, selfish, racist nature. You know? That growing up in that, just like what Dr. Shekhanta Job said. Job said there's a two-cradle theory of human development. The northern cradle for Europeans and the southern cradle. And when you look at that and you read about that, one of the things that sticks out is that for us in the southern cradle is we were xenophilic. We welcome people. There was no fear of strangers. We were xenophilic. The European is xenophobic. Fear of strangers. Anybody who comes. But yet, when they came into other people's land as a visitor, they had an ulterior motive of taking that land and taking that resources, enslaving those people or just eliminating those people. The only acts of real genocide, I ain't talking about the damn European Jews. You got the damn European Jews have co-opted the word Holocaust, which is not a European Jewish word, and genocide. Because when you hear the word genocide, you think about them. You hear the word Holocaust, you think about them. I'm not arguing or debating whether or not what they went through was not a hell. It probably was. I'm not questioning if it happened or not. I don't give a damn. I know what has happened to Africans. That's my concern. At this moment, I can't feel for nobody outside of us because I'm adamant about healing us. I got to work on us, because once we work on us and fix us to where we are a people again of respecting ourselves, loving ourselves, working with one another, believing in who we are, everything else is outside of that and is not my concern. African people, especially in America, have seen nothing but hate and suffering brought forth by the system of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. We have been murdered, enslaved, tortured, experimented on, criminalized, beat, whipped, raped, robbed, used, misled, and any other word that you can think of to describe the characteristics of violent oppression. After generations and generations of being victims of a system of European extremism, we have learned how to hate ourselves and even kill ourselves just as good as a system that taught us. We've learned this murderous and psychopathic behavior from our oppressors. Since there's always been tribal beefs and family squabbles, but nothing like this insane amount of senseless murders committed in these days. And it proliferates. And I know, talking with some folks the other day, and one sister says, 50 years, that's a small blip in terms of human history. Hey, listen. When you understand the acceleration of time today, we don't have time to say, that was 50 years. That's small. You know, we can, no. Time is of the essence. Do I not sound like I'm saying, let's get it together right now? We should have had it together yesterday. I'm sounding this way because it is paramount. It is vital. It is serious that we come together that we break the chains, that we release the vice grip that the European has on our minds, and come together to work on these problems. We cannot do it here. I repeat, we cannot do it here. The real issue for African people is coming to the understanding of one Africa. Whether you want to call it the United States of Africa or the United African States, I don't give a damn how you want to use the words. The bottom line is that Africans must come together unified. The cultural difference can be dealt with. You can still maintain, as long as you understand what is most important is not the fact that you're a Ghanaian. What's most important is not the fact that you're Nigerian or Cameroonian. What's most important is the fact that you know that you are African. And you don't want to impose any cultural nuances that you have on anybody else. But you want your cultural nuances to be respected, and they will be. But first and foremost, we act as one. Our men, our women, our children, our elders, our gods, our ancestors, our traditions, our culture. We act as one. African people, especially in America, have seen nothing but hatred and suffering brought forth by the system of Europeans. We have been murdered, enslaved, tortured, experimented on, criminalized, beat, whipped, raped, robbed, used, misled, and other, in any other word you can think of to describe the characteristics of violent oppression. After generations and generations of being victims of a system, we have learned how to hate ourselves and even kill ourselves just as good as the system has taught us. We've learned this murderous and psychopathic behavior from the oppressor. So there's always been tribal beefs and family squabbles, but nothing like the insane amount of senseless murders that we commit against each other on a daily basis. And not just here in America, but it is global. Why is that some of us are still waiting for the same system to love us, to make things right, to apologize and give us back what we lost? Don't make me laugh, but we do. We pray. We pray to their God, their religion, to somehow give them an epiphany, somehow soften their heart. Kemet. When Moses, which didn't happen, the Exodus didn't happen, but for the story, God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Well, damn it, God, why don't you soften his heart? If he was coming into some issues, why don't you make him understand and make him see? But no, I have to harden his heart to make these plagues so their people can suffer like the European Jews allegedly suffered, or the Hebrews. More correctly, the Hebrews of that time. It didn't happen. There is no record. The Exodus did not happen. It is a fact that it did not happen. Can't you see? Don't you understand? History has proven that we are dealing with a type of people that does not have the capacity to truly empathize to melanated humans, nor coexist with any melanated humans on the entire planet in peace and harmony. Let me read again. Can't you see? And don't you understand? History, Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history of Europeans in their connection and in their dealings with African people or melanated people, period. Look at what they have done and what they can and still do. History has proven that we are dealing with a type of people that does not have the capacity to truly empathize to melanated African, dark-skinned humans, nor coexist with any melanated humans on the entire planet in peace and in harmony. I'm bringing civilization to these savages. God, you know, sometimes I tell you, I know I don't cuss on the radio. I try not to. I have a cuss. You know I have. You know, then we got that acronym, Sugar Honey Iced Tea. Oh, that's cute. But sometimes it just has to be said. The frustration can become so deep. And you know, it is the root. It is not. I deal with the root damn cause of this problem. I don't deal with the surface and talk about us. I have a friend that does it all the time. I don't understand. Well, there you go again with the white. Well, it's the root cause of the problem, bro. That'll help you. If you deal with the root cause of the problem, then you will understand. It's always a slave and master, dependent, independent. This is the just like back in the day, talking about the store owners, you know, and we're a customer. It's the landlord, we're the tenant, you know, dealing with the European Jews. It is always slave and master, dependent, independent. Let me read it correctly, brothers and sisters. It is always the captive and the captor, dependent, independent, employee, boss, peasant, king, dumb, student, genius, teacher type of relationship. Where's the lie? The color of the people is not the problem. It's the behavior pattern exhibited by a particular collective that is the problem. When have our oppressors as collective brought anything but genocide, captivity, mistreatment, injustice, and death to indigenous people of the world? Once again, look at the history. I know that Winston Churchill said history is going to be kind to Britain. Why? Because I'm going to write it. And because of how they have written it, Britain, who is the main damn culprit, who is filthy damn rich because of the thievery against humanity. People talk about the royals. I listened this morning, this Caucasian lady wanted to try her damn best to say the situation is not, there's not racism. And I listened to CBS. Reason why I listened to CBS, because they seem to have some news. I was listening to ABC, but they kept talking about the movies that Disney's having and all these sales. And I wanted to listen to some more news and other features. So I changed to CBS some years ago. But anyway, so I'm watching and listening to CBS and the three newscasters were getting on the lady from England, because she was trying her best, trying to say that it's not racist, of course, because they don't want to pin themselves. Once again, the British want to constantly make you believe that they're the purveyors of good in the world. They're the most evil damn people on the planet. The British, I can stand their ass, along with the French, and I can put the other Europeans up in there. And don't make no damn mistake. Europeans are Europeans, whether you're Russian or any other Eastern Europeans, they're Europeans. Russians are Europeans. Russians are Caucasians, Europeans. Do they identify? So-called Arabs in the so-called Middle East act as Europeans. Everybody acts against us, don't they? That's why you're asking for justice does nothing. That's why your prayers for peace go unanswered and demolished. That's why your treaties with them become void to their benefit. That's why after 400 years as a collective, they still demonstrate that they have a deep level hatred, a hatred for melanated minds, and are still conjuring plans to keep us in complete subservience. That's why they murder us on camera with witnesses, and they still get away with it and get paid vacations. That's why they replaced the chattel captivity with a prison industrial complex. That's why they laugh at melanated minds when we bring up all the crimes and injustice they committed against our people. That's why they celebrate their greatest murderers and call them heroes. That's why they've been able to murder hundreds of millions of indigenous people around the globe and still feel like the model of morality and the example of a righteous people. Remember, I told you, there ain't a damn thing that we can do. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe who they are. And even though there's a plethora, a multitude, a just enormous amount of evidence to prove otherwise, they dismiss it, they ignore it, because it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with the mentality that they have. They also suffer from Caucasian fragility. They're fragile, as as Dr. D'Angelo, in her work, her workshops, were trying to make Europeans understand what they have done. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it from her. They sure in hell don't want to hear it from us. And of course, they also suffer from hegemony. What's mine is mine's, and what's yours is mine. When you have a people that think in those fashions, there ain't a damn thing you can do or say that will change that. So stop it. Stop wasting time. They are amoral. There's nothing we can do or say to make them change their behavior. We must change ours. And not in response to them. To hell with them. The system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege does not view us as humans. That system fuels Caucasian people around the world with an air of supremacy or extremism over everything and everyone. To it or to them, we are nothing more than unsophisticated savages, biologically predestined for subservience and complete domination. Has a system, has a culture, has a people. This is the general attitude demonstrated towards us. If we want to be free from this devilish system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege that aims to dominate all non-Caucasian people of the known universe, then we must be willing to pay the ultimate price. Freedom is not free. I'm well aware that as a unit, African people in America are still dependent on a system of Caucasians benevolence for basic human needs, our food, our shelter, our clothing. Not only that, but we are severely outgunned and outmanned, at least in America, but globally we're not. But the fact is, the weaponry of Europeans, period, on the planet, European Jews included, because they Caucasians, they got them. And the fact that they can kill you. Remember, I've always said, one thing about Europeans, they always found a better way to kill your ass. And they have multiple ways for mass destruction. Not only that, but we severely outgunned. Between the government and the police, what little weapons we have are no match for the weapons that have been stockpiling for hundreds of years. To top it off, we can't agree on anything and get along in long enough to accept implementation of a strategy. We can't implement a strategy because we can't get along, which is, of course, the Europeans sowing the seeds of discourse. Keep them divided. Keep them at each other. In other words, we're in no shape for a revolution. There is something we need to fix immediately. Being self-sufficient and learning how to unite should be our highest priority. I repeat, being self-sufficient and learning how to unite should be our highest priority. In the meantime, how long can we sit around while the police, this so-called justice system or the injustice system, and the government murder us how they want and when they want without any consequence? We know our lives don't matter to them. But what about to us? Can we stop killing each other and focus on our real enemies instead? Are our lives worth fighting for? We should know by now that we have a royal bloodline. Our ancestors brought civilization to this planet. And scholars have proven that all human variations come from an original African source. The so-called Africans. If we are the offsprings of such magnificent people, then why are we still subservient and willing participants of our own oppression? You mean to tell me we can be the original man, the archetype of humanity, building pyramids, bringing civilization, exploring the entire planet, map out the stars, and be the physical manifestations of the infinitely expanding creative force of the universe, but we can't overcome a system designed to prevent the genetic annihilation of melanated deficient, genetically recessive former cave dwellers of this planet, the Caucasoid, from the Caucasoid Mountains? I understand the epiphany that Sister, and she mentioned it at a presentation that I was at, Sister Frances Cresswellsing, Dr. Frances Cresswellsing, said she was in her kitchen and realized that because of the European going around the world, taking everybody's stuff in the name of, and raping the women they were encountered, the offspring from those rapes did not look like them, causing to have in them an innate feeling of genetic annihilation. We, as our Caucasian people, saying we must stop this. We must not engage in this. If we are to perpetuate ourselves, that's why the European, even though they instituted abortions way back in the early 70s, as being free, not being free, as being something that is, you know, that you can attain or acquire, why they want to eliminate that now, why they got the judges put in place to do away with it. And of course, women who want to have an abortion will still get one, but not from the state. There may be a clinic. But if there's preventing from having abortions in the United States, then once again, it'll be like it was back prior to the early 70s. As a quote saying, was it back alley abortions? Coat hanger abortions. But for me, I ain't about abortions. We need brothers and sisters. We need brothers and sisters to come together. And we need children for our revolution, for our taking over ourselves and our land and our, you know, I ain't talking about the United States. I'm giving about the United States. We can't do it here. As long as they're here and we're here, we will always be in a position, a subservient position, and they'll be in a position of authority and control. Either we lay down right now and just die, neglecting billions of ancestors and millions of years of indigenous history in the process, or we, as a unit, move the mentality, this captive mindset forced upon us, and decide that we have the human right to live on earth in peace and abundance and are willing to manifest our birthright by any means necessary. It's clear they won't give us our freedom. We must take it. I Ashe. But one thing that has to be clear to us, at least to me, and correct, rescue me if I'm wrong. And you can join the conversation. We still got a few more minutes left at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The only place that we can do what we're talking about doing is on the continent of Africa. The Africans on the continent and the Africans in the diaspora must come together, kick out all foreign entities out of Africa who have been stealing from us, who have caused who have sown the seeds of discord and division, and who have educated Africans to be at the top. They will become puppets, neo-colonialists, or servants to Caucasians to help undermine their countries and their people. A group of Africans must come together on the continent throughout the diaspora and say that we are forming the African future. There is no head of state. There ain't no damn king or queen. None of that. Y'all can still be that. But we need a cadre of brothers and sisters who understand that if we are going to be a people again and be self-determining, to be independent, to be liberated, and ultimately sovereign, we have to control the continent of Africa, its resources, its land. We have to build the infrastructure for the continent of Africa. We have everything we need, dear brothers and sisters. You know what we don't have? Our minds. We don't have our right minds because we've been filled with the Europeans' theology. We've been filled with the Europeans' ideas of governance. We've been filled with the European. I'm so damn sick of the Europeans. I could just puke. 646. Good 646. Good afternoon. Hey, Jay.
Did you just use that beautiful word, caucasoid?
Yes, I did.
Oh man, the caucasoid. Isn't that a most? I don't know what's more appealing to me.
Yorugu.
Yorugu or cracker. or even one of my other favorites, George Jefferson, hunky. I think that most profitting at certain times is hunky. You know, when you, even now, every now and then, you know, you get in a situation and you want to shock one of them devils, you just call them a hunky. And they look at you like, what? I remember the last time I had to use it, I was in Walmart, and this ball of syphilitic puff decided he wanted to bump in to my grandbaby. And I said to him, you know, sir, you really need to say, excuse me, that's the baby. Yo, do you know that this devil had the nerve to try and trick-talk me? And I went into distance because I was going to tap that jaw. So I had to be close enough so that, you know, if he get a little too outrageous, I could tap the jaw. Because I'm a firm believer, you got to be in a distance to where when they say something, you got to just knock them out.
Just go ahead.
I said to him, you know, sir, me and you are not going to sit here and go back and forward. Because I don't play with hunkies. And man, he looked at me, and the shock went on his face. Did you know that devil just turned around and walked away, man?
How old was he? Do you think that he can remember that word described to them? Because that's something, Jay.
He was around 40 years ago.
Yeah.
He was around 40. You know, he was
40 something. Maybe not. No, maybe not. See. So, because we haven't been using that word. I haven't heard that word, you know, being used to describe Caucasians in quite some time.
It just came to the mind. You know, every now and then a beautiful word come to the mind that you could use. And that was just an ideal situation. But he was around 40 years old, around, 6 foot, around 300 pounds. So I know I had to be in the distance when I popped him. He was going to crumble, and then, you know, I was going to make a decision if I was going to stomp him out.
Right.
Or just go back up with him. Depending on how he fell. But I knew he was going to fall. You know what I mean? Because I was just in the right distance, you know what I mean, to do a Marvin Hagler on him with excellence.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, when you think about using words to describe this Urugu, this devil, this cockasaurus, you know, this mutation,
right.
You know, this ball of syphilitic punk. You know, we have to, like you said, we have to be able to define our existence for ourselves. We have to be able to, like you said, go back home to Africa and build up Africa and make it in what we want it to be.
Yes.
Because think about this, Oshie.
It's the only, Jay, it's the only solution. We're trying to look all over the damn place. It's the only solution. That's it.
But think about this, Oshie. A lot of people don't realize this, and some people do. Do you know why India is growing in the manner in which it's growing? It's because the people that came here and became educated are going back home and assisting in the building of India.
Exactly.
They're going doing investments, doing all of the necessary things to make it grow. You know, just like other countries and other nationalities, we the only ones that are not taking our talents that we have gained in this hellhole to go back home and build up our land. You know, we could identify one land base, and with all of the skills and all of the tools that we have as a people, we could go there and within 50 to 100 years build it into the template of what Africa should be and its development with all of the talents and the skills that we have. But we don't think like that. But other people are doing it. That's why every nationality is building their place of origin other than who? The Urugu.
Yeah.
Because the Urugu.
Right.
Because, see, the Urugu's whole existence is his growth and his development of wealth has been through what? Taking it from others.
That's right.
Remember that. Think about that.
That's right.
Think about how Europe became wealthy. Think about all of these other places. It's because they went somewhere and conquered, robbed, raped, and stole from the people. So, you know, I just wanted to leave you with that, man. And I want to thank you, brother. I want to thank you for bringing forth the enlightenment that you are bringing forth right now. Now, as I would say this, you are a teacher. You are an African griot who is bringing forth the information. So now I have to ask you this. Is there anybody replacing Franklin Jones, the Matrix man, the teacher?
Well, not that I know. Not yet. Not that I know of. But
so will we be hearing a repeat of his show? Because, you know, or will we be hearing a show of Time for Awakening?
Time for Awakening.
I got to say this before I go. Could you maybe decide that you want to give the people another hour of your greatness, of your skill? Could you do that, brother?
You know what? I'm going to tell you, Jay.
To give us another hour of your greatness?
I'm going to tell you, Jay. I really, in these 5 years, because I've been on radio before. That's how this happened. You know, I'm a firefighter, you know, and on my off days, I would go to schools and work with our young people and do all the kinds of other stuff. And I would periodically go on the radio. In fact, me and another serious minded African centered brother, we would join the guy at this one radio station on his program once a month on Wednesdays. And the station manager told him, "You got to get them cats off. I'm trying to get this money, you know, from all of these different kinds of you know, sources. So, you know, you can't be having cats on talking the way these guys are talking. So that was a short lived piece right there. But I've been on radio stations, and honestly, I've been speaking the way I'm speaking now, even back then, because I was the voice.
You need to do another hour then, or, you know, we need another hour of you, Osh. I mean, I know you love to talk, so it won't be hard. The beautiful thing is this, though. We are going to have on Wednesday Franklin Jones back under your, hopefully, tutelage.
That's for sure. We could learn
from him.
That's right. That's for sure.
It's befitting. It's befitting that he be there with you on Wednesdays so that he could give that input on, as he says, him teaching the people. I mean, it just wasn't good for 2 hours, but it can be good for 2 hours one day a week because it was just repetitive. it was repetitive. And it was the same thing. But he's a good brother. He's a smart brother, man. He's able to put forward his information in a manner to whereas it just wasn't fitting this type of structure. You got to have guests, and you got to interact with the listeners. You have to have people to call in so you can chop it up and teach them. Mm-hmm. And expand on what they're saying. And that's what makes you so great. It's just like, Oshi, you know, you delicately, earlier when I called in and asked you, was the nation a cult, you didn't blatantly come out and say, you're damn right it is. You thoughtfully said, yes, it is a cult, but there's a reason behind its cultness, and, you know, it's there to serve and satisfy our purpose for our people, which I will always say, without the nation, black people would have caught more hell than they did, because it was a counterbalance to the civil rights movement at that time, mm-hmm. with the eloquency of the great Malcolm X. See, people don't realize the greatest thing about Malcolm was he saved a lot of people from getting hurt because of his ability to articulate and let that hunky know that he could get a foot up in his behind, too, mm-hmm. that we wasn't all going to turn the other cheek like your brothers down in the South did. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, thank God for the Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it is what it is. And I'm going to tell you this. I respect them, but I just ain't going to follow them.
Yeah, I do too. I work with them.
Under their
I'm not going to let them ever govern me. Yeah,
and
I would still work with them.
I don't think that they should govern people who are not part of the nation. They should be able to do what they said, have two states for the Nation of Islam, let them put forward a platform to whereas they're showing people how they're living, what they're doing, what they're producing, and then if people want to come and join it, then they join it. But you can't have me come with you from the conception and the start because people are not prepared or have the real understanding of how to live that type of life, and that's what makes it cultish.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people understand the principles and the tenets of a cult and how it operates. So whereby if you understand that, one would be extremely clear that it has some cult-like qualities that could confuse and manipulate people into acting and behaving for which they're not naturally have the tendencies to act and behave in. So I want to thank you, O.C.
I appreciate it, Jay.
I respect you, and I look up to you not only as an elder, even though you're not that much older than me, but the point of the matter is, O.C., you are a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful brother.
I appreciate it, Jay.
I know have one thing, love, for African people.
Ashe.
Okay, my brother. And put me on mute, please.
All right. Take care, Jay. Have a good day, man. Peace to you, my brother. I appreciate Jay. I appreciate Jay listening all these times when I first came on. I appreciate Brother Ralph. I appreciate Marcus. All of the brothers and sisters, Sister Benisiwa, all the brothers and sisters that call on this program, Queen Ali, you know, they're calling. I know there are more that are listening. I was told that there are more listeners. They just sometimes they just don't call, and that's cool too, you know. But what you're going to get every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is Brother Oshie's talking about the things that affect African people. You know, and what we can do to overcome them and to come together. You know, this program is about independence. It is about self-determination. It is about liberation. It is about unequivocally, undeniably about sovereignty for African people. And the only place that that can take, and the only continent that it can take place on is on the continent of Africa. It can't take place anywhere else that Europeans have taken. They took this country. There's nothing we can do. We cannot share this country with them unless we're in a subservient position. I don't give a damn how much money you attain, how much influence you think you have. It is theirs, not ours. I would be under the impression saying that, listen, we going home. Those who want to go, let's go. Those who want to stay here, so be it. You do that. Because we're going to have to deal with this. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifuhodie. Bifuhodie means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Bifuhodie family, have a blessed day. Hope you will be back with me on Wednesday. Peace, family.